Jen.
Hey, Kristen.
You know what we're doing right now?
I hope we're podcasting.
I think we're recording a podcast.
I would wonder what this thing was in my face.
Well, that's not the first time you've said that. Hey, welcome to the hashtag I'm Mom So Hard podcast. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find us on the old gram. You can find us on the Twitter. You can find us on TikTok, sort of. You can find us
YouTube,
on YouTube, Facebook, on Facebook.
Guess where else? A stage near you.
Go to imomsohard.com to see if we're coming to a city near you on our for our live show, which we are having the best time.
So today I wanted to talk about, and I'm making it sound like it's serious, but I know. Didn't.
She's like really set this up. She's like, this is going to be so easy for you to talk about.
We talk about this a little bit in the show, and it's just really on my brain right now. What? No. I want to talk about my favorite teachers. I was going to just focus on one, but I was like, I can't because I have two or three. And then as I was thinking about it, there's a whole bunch. And I know this is easy for you because you have one big one in your life that's.
What do you mean?
Terry, your mom.
Oh, yeah, my mom.
Anytime, this is what's great is anytime that somebody talks about a great teacher or. Like, here's what you should do when you teach is you do bring up your mom. You're like, you know what my mom used to do? And I think she's a great teacher. But
that's why I don't use any anecdotes about, you know what she was like at home?
Well, let's get into that later. I do have a hot flash for later, and you have a mom box.
I do.
Right?
That's I do. We're here for all of it. You guys, I love talking about teachers.
I know. Well, it occurred to me that, like, I love the kids' teachers, like the ones that they have this year. I'm just like super overjoyed with them. And then I read this article that was talking about like, here's 10 things that the teachers did during like 2020, 2021 that what like we don't ever really talk about. But I wanted to say them to you because not only we appreciate teachers, we shout them out. We cheers to teachers. Yeah. They saved our lives and our marriages during the last couple years. Like it can't be said enough how like undervalued and underappreciated teachers are.
And we talked a lot about frontline workers and rightly so. But when I was listening to the teachers and, you know, working with Finn and working with Eleanor at different times and different voices, and they all kept their wits about them and they all had nice, lovely voices.
Yeah.
I was like, you guys, this is the hardest thing that can be done is 25 like third graders or second graders who don't understand what's going on.
Yeah.
So we're just going to cheer high fives all those teachers out there.
Yeah. So this article that I was reading about was talking about how teachers had to, well, a lot of them are quitting too, by the way.
Which I understand.
I'm just going to say it. Maybe I wanted to talk about this because I want to beg you to not quit. Because we
need teachers more now than ever. But it's hard, man. You get burnout. I was a teacher for 7 years and I got burned out. I was teaching at a school that was tough.
Yeah.
And I was also having babies and starting my life in that direction. And it wasn't the job. It wasn't the career I had set for myself. It was something that came upon and I ended up loving, but I couldn't fully commit. And so I knew what it took to be a good teacher because of my mom. And I felt like I was just not going to be able to give them everything they deserved and needed. So I stepped away. But I will tell you, when I was in it and I was doing it, I was like, you know, how many times did I go, hey, do you have any clothes you want to donate or have any purses you want to donate?
Yes.
Or because teachers do so much in that space that the world doesn't know about that. How much time and energy you're thinking about just getting supplies for your room. No, nobody goes to an insurance job and they're like, hey, can you bring a ream of paper? That's not how that works.
That's so true. And there's not like an insurance adjuster or guy who sells insurance that's like, gosh, this family, they lost their house. They're getting a payout, but I'm going to go ahead and bring them over a casserole because point A to point B is a long time.
You're right. And you're like dealing with the thing they love most, which is their kids. And it's just really, I think the burnout thing is real. And so when you have teachers who are in it to win it, you give them nice presents.
Yeah, you should. We're always going to say
cash,
that.
Which can be cash. And I'm just going to say it can be cash money.
It can be expensive, like the good kind of alcohol, the cheap kind.
No, and you don't have to take it into the school because that, you know, I did have a student buy me really nice champagne once. And I was like, you're not 21 and you shouldn't be able to bring this in here. I appreciate the effort.
Well,
I really did.
And I think over the last couple of years, too, we can't forget, like, even though they're not, firemen, police people, nurses and doctors, you know, they still did risk their health in some places. I mean, I have
their mental health.
for sure their mental health. I mean, I had friends who, they're like, I got COVID again. I can't not. I work lunch duty. Like, they're in places that, like, didn't really have.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I'll talk about him in a second, but we, you know, COVID was a very hard time. 2020 in particular was a really hard time for teachers. It was a sad time. And I think teachers know that, like, the thing they want to do is, like, lift the spirits of their students. That's what they're good at.
Yeah.
That's why they wear funny clothes and they wear funny earrings and they do funny stuff. It's because it brings joy to the kids. And they're like, I don't care what you think about me. This is, like, for my kids. At least that's what my mom did.
Yeah.
She wore, like, shirts that, like, lit up and said weird stuff and, like, earrings that made noise. And I was like, you're, like, a circus clown. But she did it for them.
Yeah.
And it was delightful.
It's not their job. It's their life.
It's their life. It's a calling from their heart. But by the way, we always say that. Like, we're always like, you know, teachers have they get such intrinsic value. I'm like, you know what else is value? Cash money.
Yeah.
So let's, like, up their salaries.
And again, alcohol shipped directly to their house.
Right. But money. Yeah. Increase their salaries.
How about that? Yeah.
Because value, intrinsic return is all great and fine and makes you feel warm and fuzzy, but it don't pay your mortgage.
I have to say one thing about teachers before I forget, because I do want to, like, go through this list. No, I know this. I knew that we would get fired up about it because we really can go on about these teachers that we love. Forever.
I can go on about teachers I don't love. That'll be later.
I got a couple of those. That'll be another.
I got a couple.
But it's
shouldn't have done that.
Few and far between, though, those ones.
I got
ones.
A few. I got a list. I do.
Interestingly, Terry's on both of
Kristen's
lists.
Yeah, Terry's on both lists.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I didn't like her teacher conference she had with me.
Well, I thought it was interesting because I was one of my favorite teachers who I didn't have as a teacher, but kind of she's a teacher because she's such a good friend, as Jenny was talking about how, like, COVID happened and they just immediately had to change plans. Like, every single thing that they were going to do had to change. It was literally like Friday they were given this instruction and then Monday they had to
do something different.
They had to do it different. And that's, like, kind of what's happened for the last couple of years. And they still managed to keep, like, kids engaged. The ones that had a hard time, obviously, and I know a lot of them did, and it's all different ages, but, like, kids got bored and, like, they were, like, jumping through hoops to try and get these kids to watch.
Literally. One of the greatest things you'll ever YouTube is teachers remote learning and trying to do their best to hold everybody's attention.
Like, juggling.
The wife will, like, record the dad as he's, like, teaching, like, gym.
Yeah.
And it's, like, he's got the ring light and he's, like, everybody's knees up. Like, the effort. the effort these teachers made. Like,
Kristen did a really great physical.
My knees, everybody's. It's almost my dance move that gets you, Jen. It's like my knees.
I'm so tickled by your dance moves.
You know, many have been. It has started with
literally
a tickle.
I know.
Listen, if you dance up on me, that's what you get.
Yeah, she's got
But they really did cute stuff with, like, there was a teacher that's famous out of Nebraska who was on Good Morning America that went viral because she would go to these different locations and do these pre-recorded lessons. Like, I think if there's nothing that teachers are more, they are inventive and they are creative and they, like, I think all they did when this all started is they were like, oh God, I've got to figure out how to make this work.
Yeah.
And so many of them did. And it was a really tough thing. God, I would have crashed and burned.
I mean, I do think that one of the things that was hard over the last couple of years is, like, and I've said this probably on the podcast before, but I say it, you know, at probably ad nauseum to you and my husband, and God forgive anybody else that's in the way of my mouth. But, like,
well,
yeah,
that's
some people
so many
don't
in college.
Hate it. So many don't hate it.
Talk about tickling.
You get both of us on a dance floor, and it's an assault waiting to happen.
It's just nothing but Casey's like shaking her head, like, God, no, please don't. She's making notes. Can't say that. Well,
no,
Casey,
but
we can't.
Yeah, we're different.
We're
different.
You literally can't.
We're different. Oh, we can do that because we're not men. We can talk about groping people, can't we? We're not men. We're not.
We cannot say that because we are evolved and we recognize that both genders have a responsibility to honor boundaries.
1,000%, but I've never groped anybody
That's not true. If my dance move has a groping move and you move up on it and you are then participating in my grope, my grope is what you walked into.
You walked into my hand.
You walked into my hand
doing a cupping.
Yeah.
Again, really
cupping,
nice demonstration.
Cupping,
I don't know what's up that high,
but
you can get in from both those directions.
A tall guy. If I'm squatting and I'm tall and I'm cupping underneath like my chin.
Congratulations to him. She's cupping a lot right there, you guys.
Well, if I'm like, you know, whatever.
It's none of my business.
I'm just
going to
eat another cookie. And...
But, okay, so
Back
to teachers. I've complained that, like, there's no leaders, kind of. Like, there's nobody to, like, follow the lead on, like, how to survive this time.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like anybody was, like, really killing it, you know, in the last couple of years. So it was like, we're all, like, looking around, like, oh, what do we do? I mean, I can follow Drew Barrymore, but, I mean, yeah. I feel like she's got a lot more cash and positivity than I do. Like, that's
like I need someone that's going to be really authentic. And I
wanted, like, a grandparent to come over and be
I
like,
I know
well,
exactly what you mean. When we were in the middle of it and Finn had science, I'm obsessed with his science teacher. And she's a mom and she's cool and she's a little bit older, but she is exactly that science teacher that's like, she's got like curly hair that's kind of like wily and she wears like cute overalls and she's got like ripped arms because she loves to garden and she's been around forever. She's been, I think, teaching for over like 30 years. So she's just got it figured out. Yeah, totally.
Totally.
And she,
her house smells like books.
For sure.
God, I love her.
Awesome. She would go to the school. And every day she would do this video of kind of like what the school looks like because kids were really sad that they weren't on campus.
Heck,
and she
yeah.
would go, you guys, I went to campus. And this is how she would talk. She'd go, I went to campus and I was noticing there was a lot of animal droppings. And I was like, what is this? So I waited until the nighttime. And guess what? There were 12. I counted 12 coyotes on the grounds because they are coming down from the mountain and they notice that there's no kids around. So they're like, hey, coyote friend, do you want to hang out? And so all the, I've got like goosebumps.
I know.
All the kids are like, and they're engaged and she's got like this storytelling voice. And then she's like, you know, science ends and she goes, now listen, I know this is a hard time, but you and I, we will get through it together.
Aww.
And then I am behind, both Colin and I are literally behind the doors and we're on the other side. We're like,
thank you.
Did she know? And my son's like, why are you here? Like, get out of my
Don't
Zoom.
Don't embarrass me.
What are you doing on my Zoom?
Yeah.
But
put a shirt on too, Mom. Everybody can see you.
That's the thing. The teachers, we could hear them. So
yes.
Like, there were so many times that I felt like, okay, at least this one thing is happening. There's like, they're learning math. I don't even care if she even really learned it. I was like, as long as somebody's talking to her like a teacher right
yeah.
now,
that's
so incredible.
I shit you not.
It's such a Nebraska thing.
I know, sorry. Both my kids' teachers during that time reminded me like, oh, look, you have a nice voice you can use. You don't always have to use the like
I know, they're
pandemic
better people.
Stress mm-hmm. at the end of your rope voice. You can fake it because guess what? You probably would if it were somebody else
yeah.
like on the line. And who needs it more than your kid right now is a little bit of like... understanding, right? Well, the teachers did. So I absolutely followed their lead and they kind of gave us direction that we didn't have, in my opinion, because you didn't...
They were beacons of hope.
Yeah. And you know what? You had to help your kids, which kind of gave you a more noble purpose than complaining
right.
on Zoom
they
with your coworkers
you to teammate
and stuff.
With them.
Yeah.
And that felt really good.
Yeah.
So it's not even that we're appreciating teachers on behalf of our kids. It's like this weird thing that they probably don't even realize is how much they helped us.
Totally. Like they gave us direction.
Yeah, they gave us direction. They gave us an example of how to operate, of like things we can talk about. And it was terrifying. There were times that I was like, oh my God, I don't know how to do grouping.
I know.
Eleanor was like, Mom, we're past that. And I'm like, I need one more. You know
Please.
What?
I didn't get that exit exam. I'm not ready yet.
Yeah, I'm not ready. And Eleanor's, I am. And I was like, well, you're in second grade. You're way ahead of me in math altogether.
Both my kids have already surpassed my knowledge. And I say that all the time. And I'm like, don't use that against me because I will hire somebody.
Yeah, my son fully knows. Like, he looks at me and he's like, Is Dad here? I don't know why you're pretending that that math book's upside down. You're trying to look like you know what you're doing, but it's upside down. It's an embarrassing. Why are you smoking a pipe?
I said a horrible thing. I know how horrible this is, and anybody that's like a math teacher is going to punch me in the face. I fully invite you to.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, Jen Wisdom is about to come down.
Well, Dash was like, well, we're learning about Aerie, and I'm like, great. That's one thing I know.
Yep. Because no one buys more rugs than
length
Jen.
Times width. Yep. Surface area, you come to me and I go, here's the thing nobody's going to tell you, Dash.
Oh, God.
Area and percentages are pretty much all you need to know, unless you're your Uncle Jeff, who's a mathematician and
has a great job with wonderful benefits.
Unless you want to be successful in life. You want to be a good shopper? You follow my notes, buddy. You want to have lots of money?
Be like Jeff's uncle. Yeah. Listen. I will tell you this. We say that all the time. Like, all you need to know is percentages and, like, real-time math. But deep down inside, mathematicians, like, math teachers are rock stars to us because they're like, they got the secret sauce that we don't have.
Oh, my God.
Like, their brain operates on a level. Mine has been dead and full of cobwebs for so long.
Oh, my God.
Math was so hard for me. And at the peak of my wonderful attention deficit disorder, I'd spaced out 2 years of math. So I got to like my freshman year of math and I was
she, like
wait.
Would even pick the teacher out of a lineup.
I know, I was like, what is this that we're doing? Yeah. So I
didn't have ADHD and I did math the exact same thing.
It was, I think math is taught in a different way and everybody talks about new math being so bad. I actually really like it.
I do too.
I think it's really smart.
Now
that I get it. Listen, I'm in classes. Eleanor's teaching me. Everything's
literally,
fine.
That's literally what's happening in my house. And I'm like, I get that. I go, that's actually the way my brain sees it.
Everybody's brain sees it like that. It's less complex. It helps our brains operate. And these teachers that have to teach this new math do not need us parents going, well, I like the old math. Like, it doesn't help anything. Like,
well, you know what? There's some that are like, I like the old racism. It works for me. I am quoting members of my extended family, but I shouldn't.
Humble pie is good for all of us. And I think when we started to look at like having to help our kids and help our teachers help our kids, I'm the first to admit that I was like, man, my kid is tough. Or like Eleanor got caught, you know, putting on costumes during class. I didn't even know it. I didn't know it till
when she was on Zoom.
She had a comedy kit under her bag, under her desk, and she would put on different costumes. I knew about one, but then I went to the only park meetup where literally we were all social distanced in masks, and the teachers was outside for like 30 minutes. We didn't even get to really.
We did like an end of the year.
Everybody
like
was waving us to Eleanor, and they were like, "Eleanor, your grandma character is so funny."
You're like,
and I was like, "What?" And then another person said something about Jefferson. What is it? Jeff. He's looks like a leprechaun. I don't know. Has a hatchet. That was one of them.
Paul Bunyan.
It was like Paul Bunyan. I forget the name. And so she would act like she had a hatchet with a full beard. I had no idea this was going on. This poor teacher had to deal with my kid coming in doing her
lumberjack.
Like top five. Lumberjack Jeff.
Lumberjack Jeff. Okay, that's not an official.
Right. And then the real estate agent you helped her with, and then she's got her disco lady. So evidently these were all coming out during Zoom. And I was like, I'm so bad that she's home and I don't know she's doing this. Like, that's how bad I am. Like, wasn't I supposed to be checking on her or something?
Well, if she's not going to be on SNL, maybe she'll be a teacher, though.
Or she'll go into engineering because she actually really is good at math. Well, that's what I want.
More power to her because maybe I need her to give me a little refresher course or something.
Well, she'll go there because of teachers, not because of me. I'll tell you that.
Don't you think, too, that teachers were saints because they had to deal with really crappy parents? I really want to throw somebody under the bus right now, and I luckily don't know their name, but I do know that there was a parent
school
who, when their kid was, like, you know, their testing and stuff like that, was exposed to COVID. This parent wanted their child to...
Oh, yeah.
Have the school district pay for the child to be quarantined in a hotel by themselves. And I was like, you know how I know this? Nobody told me this. I heard them on the phone outside the school and was like, do I fight them?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to. I got to take my mask off to do that, especially if I plan on biting. But who does that?
I know.
You got to deal with that?
Yeah.
Like, who was she talking to? who is on the other end of that phone? Somebody from the school, yeah. right? Had to be that, like, that has to deal with this crazy person. And that's one. That's one that yeah. I heard.
And how about crazy kids? Because I'm sorry, you guys, they're out there. Yeah. There was one class.
They don't fall far from the tree, if no. you know what I mean.
No, they don't. There was one class that I was like, if this kid tells one more story about his fucking shoe, yeah. I am going to lose it. Somebody needs to give him a light, tell him his time on stage is over. No one cares about his dumb shoe. I honestly can't take it. Like, my head.
What kind of shoe stories were they?
That's the thing. You're, like, literally giving me PTSD. They were the dumbest, most boring show about how he couldn't put on the right one, but then he put on the left one, and he was a slow talker, and he always yeah. wanted to tell his story. And I was like, these teachers are better humans than me, because I would be like, find another article of clothing. I'd rather hear how you put on your hoodie. But we've only heard about your shoe.
Well, they are better people, because I know when we were in the car the other day, my son wanted to tell me a story about a substitute teacher that he had finding a turtle. But he wanted to include all of the suspense that the teacher had put into the story. Oh boy. And he tries to relate this story.
Oh boy.
And, you know, they're at the age, is Eleanor doing this, where...
it's probably a strong yes.
My kids are, well, they're almost 9, 6. They are at this age where they will say, so, and then the, and then the teacher, mm-hmm. and then the teacher yep. said, they add on a word every time, but they restart the sentence.
And the whole story. So it's like bricklaying. I have a diagnosed disorder that makes that painful.
I think I do too. We were in the car and Dash is telling this story about finding not just one turtle, two turtles, yeah. and how she ended up adopting both of turtles. And it took 20 minutes and the whole, because I was like, what? In the end, she adopted him. But he wouldn't let me finish it. I knew where he was leading me. I could tell,
Jen,
because of the
that's
sense.
That's how my husband tells stories. And if I give it up too soon, if I know the end, he'll start over.
That's what my mind is too. I'll tell my husband, you've told me this before, here's how it ends. He goes, I can't stop. He literally says, I still want to finish the story.
My husband will go, have I told you the story? I go, every single time you see this, you tell me the story. And he goes, I'm awesome. Anyway, and then he'll start to tell me the story. I'm like, it doesn't matter. This is why teachers are great. They've heard the same thing 1,000 times.
Here's the revenge for my husband, though. That was the second time he had heard that story. So he spent 40 minutes of his life hearing about two turtles that will never have anything to do with him ever, which I feel like, hey, this is how I feel when you talk about Colgate football.
Yeah.
Or like, Colgate hockey games that happened like 18 years ago.
Or your shoe.
Exactly.
I mean, all of it is, you know, that's why we say the teachers are angel people.
Can I tell you one of my saint teachers?
Yes, please.
Okay. One of my favorite teachers I've ever had, my sixth grade teacher, Mrs. Cowker, is one of our biggest fans.
She's awesome. Is she the one that was at the show in Omaha?
Yeah, she was front row. And I haven't seen her in so long that I didn't even like recognize her. She brought her daughter or granddaughter, which I remember when her daughter got married. And then
I know, time goes by.
But she is like the biggest fan. And I said in our live show, and I just had to say now, this is why like I'm such a huge fan of hers, is like, she was a teacher when my parents were getting divorced, and I was really like rudderless because, especially during the 80s, like when parents were like boomers and totally only gave a shit about their own shit.
they were like, what can happen to you? You're just a kid. You don't have any problems.
They're like, let me know when CPS calls. Other than that, I'm doing
great.
That's
the barometer.
Yeah. But she was such a great teacher and like made me read all the banned books. Like she got me into The Hobbit, like got me reading and like.
She turned you into a nerd?
Yeah. She also made me join math club.
Of course.
And I hated math. And she's like, that's why you're joining it.
Yeah.
She, like literally. But she made us make scrapbooks. Like made a scrapbook that was like part of our thing in school. It was like you made your own autobiography basically.
That's neat.
Which I still have. She made us write our own comic books.
That's cool.
With a character based on ourselves. Super blackmail material. I'll find it someday and let you read it.
Yeah, that would be fair because all your stuff right now, I was like, these are all like really nice articles about you. That's not what we have on my side.
Well, it was called The Green Dove and that doesn't make any fucking sense. Stuff.
Well, it sounds really good. You know I'm going to love it. I'm going to be like, damn it. It's actually really good.
It's not.
I want it to not
maybe
be.
Maybe it was the Crystal Dove. No, I think it was the,
ugh.
That sounds too good.
Both are dumb,
like the Green Dove.
Great.
I know.
I can get behind them.
And then I had Miss Phillips, which I think she was like a super important teacher in my life. She was my fourth grade teacher, which was like the start of my parents'
She's
But she was the first.
That's an important age. You need to have an advocate with you at that time.
And she was hilarious is what I remember. Like, she got me loving books, like really like woke up my sense of humor, held my head and stroked my hair when we read Old Yeller.
Oh boy.
And Where the Red Fern Grows. I don't know what she was trying to do there. But like, why don't you just make us watch Schindler's List too? Yeah. Because
she's trying to make you feel, and that's important at that age. You start to understand what compassion and empathy and sympathy and loss, and those are books that you have kids read, even though they are. Charlotte's Web ruined me.
It'll ruin everybody. I know. That's why
it's the saddest end to any book I've ever dealt with. Not as sad as the Old Yeller, because that one you just should stab me in the face.
I told Dash no, he can't read it. I was like, maybe when you're in your 30s or something like that.
I think I didn't know how the Red Fern Grows for a very long time. I think I half read it, and then I was like, wait, what?
They do what at the end? Why does the fern grow?
Does the fern grow? Why
I don't
want to
spoil it. It's the saddest dog death story, and it's a doubler.
I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. Why two? Why can't one go on to be fine?
You have spent 250 pages making me love these more than any living thing in my
writer.
Own life.
Is and that then your you challenge?
Take them away.
Yeah.
But I read, you know, it was very formative. But I will say, every other teacher thought I was like really kind of below average until
that's not true.
I did get a 9% on a geography exam in the third grade, which still haunts me. But she had me tested for gifted, which I was like, I don't even care if I am or not. But the fact
someone looks at you and thinks that is so important.
And I had a real severe speech impediment at the time. Like, my R's were
wonderful. Hey, man, I've been down all those roads.
Were they like, do you have a tongue?
Yeah. Like, mine were like, your tongue won't stop. Like, I was like, I still have it. I have a sibilant S, and so I was just real spitty and lispy, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, speech teachers. Shout out to speech teachers, because I swear I had a desk
you have to wear you've had to wear, like, one of those things, those wind guards for, like, your entire career.
And speech is hard for kids. Like, I remember sneaking into speech class like I was buying, like, hemorrhoid cream at CVS these days. You know, you're like, anybody see me? I don't want anybody to know I got this kind of problem because it's too embarrassing.
We did speech on Zoom the whole time when Finn was working, because he's got tongue thrust. And so just in order for him to figure out how to work with his, so we could go into orthodontia, he had to do the speech therapy.
Yeah.
And this speech therapist was so patient. I mean, like, you know, your mouth will start to spasm because you're using these muscles and you're using your tongue and you're using the back of your throat. It's very hard. And by the way, almost everybody has like a speech thing. That's what no one realizes. Like,
really?
Nobody's really perfect. No, there's always a little bit of something. Some people call it an impediment. Some people call it, you're from Boston. It really just depends. It just depends on if you roll your R's or you don't roll your R's, or you enunciate or you don't. It just depends. You could sound like all my family from the western part of Nebraska.
I just think I had a strong Rhode Island accent.
That's what
which
it is.
Didn't fit in Nebraska.
Yeah, if you would have moved, they would have been like, oh, you're just from Baltimore.
My dad had a really thick accent.
Yes.
And then his mom was Swedish. Like,
oh, you're just going to sound like every Muppet.
Totally. Yeah. She was like, I don't want
you
to learn English.
Yeah.
And so I learned to speak basically from them. So there was no hope for me.
There was no hope. That's exactly how it was going to go.
Yeah.
I have a couple teachers. First of all, I had a really wonderful speech teacher in speech team, I should say.
Oh,
speech
that's,
team.
I can't forget one.
She was awesome.
I'm going to come back to her.
Her name was Miss Hankinson. I think since then she has married and has a different last name, but she was really important to me. She was somebody who just liked me even though I was going through a lot.
I can tell she means this because she's got her arms crossed in a defensive posture. So it means that we're getting down to the nitty gritty of Kristen's feelings.
Great. I will also say one of my favorite teachers was
peeling onions right now.
was, I'm going to say these fast because I don't want to have any sentimental attachment to anything.
Why?
Because I don't like, well, I want to also shit talk the ones I don't like. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Well,
I got a
be
couple,
another episode.
I got a couple that I oh, because I do think a conversation is like, what do you do if you don't agree with the teacher? Like, oh. You don't always have to agree with them, but there is like, there are some where you're like, I have a disagreement with this teacher, but I still really like her. And then there's some and I'm like, you just have a weird personality altogether.
My mom had some epic blowouts with teachers, which, I mean, that could be an episode.
Yes. Barb's blowouts could be an entire podcast. That's what we would call it.
You know what?
Barb's blowouts. Jen will talk for the next 40 hours straight.
Once we start our own network, that's going to be the first other show we release.
My mom will be like, how dare you? You do not do one about me. I would be like, Terry, you got. I just freely talk about you all the time anyway. But I will say Mr. Parkini, Lynn's dad.
Oh, yeah.
He was my science teacher, and he was awesome. He taught biology, and so, like, 7th and 8th grade, and it was just really hands-on. And I remember, like, we got to dissect frogs, and we would draw them.
That's really cool. It's cool. It's also, like, that's a big deal.
It's a big deal. And I loved it. And I was like, oh my gosh, there's this part of me that loves this part of science. I didn't like chemistry, and I didn't like, I can only do so much in that world. But biology was kind of a hybrid between being creative and being scientifically smart. And I was like, whoa, this is all the stuff I love.
Yeah.
And so he was great. And he was like, always like, science teachers are so weird. They're so great. They're always collecting data, weird shit. Like, we had a science teacher who, like, kept her placenta in a jar. She was like,
what?
Yeah, I had a baby, and this is what, and we were like,
wait,
like,
what? She had it in the classroom?
No, I didn't see it, but she said she asked if she could keep it. Now, I don't know.
I think most of us could be presented with any lunch meat and assume that
oh,
was a
placenta.
Oh,
my God, that's so disgusting. People are going to totally.
But it's true,
seriously,
right?
Seriously, but she was like, she's just somebody who would get so impassioned. She was she won some like national
award,
Mrs. Williams, and she was awesome. And those were the kind of teachers that inspired me because they had energy and enthusiasm and love and warmth and never got tired of teaching this thing. Like, they always, that was the thing. I'm like, how do you teach this thing over and over and you love it every single time?
Yeah.
They're like, because it's so cool. Because they're dorks about it. You got to be a dork about it. You got to be a nerd about it. You got to be like geek out over like bacteria. Like, that's just, that's who you've got to be a teacher. You have to be enthusiastic about this thing.
Yeah.
And I will say my favorite teacher of all time was Paul Steiger in my undergraduate, where he just... Everything I ever wanted to learn, he taught me, and everything about theater, about physical comedy, about the different kinds of theater. It was like the first time I ever got to just study the thing I wanted in college.
Yeah.
So that was those are my favorite teachers. And then I have to say, that my husband is,
I know,
going back to graduate school to become a teacher.
I know.
And he is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Crap.
No, that's okay. You should go to this.
Oh, yeah. Let
go
me.
To this mom.
That takes us right to our mom box. So it says, hi, Kristen and Jen. I saw that Kristen's husband is starting back to school to become a teacher, and I say hooray. That's what I'm doing too, and it's never too late to follow your passion. The world needs more second career teachers. I think we bring a lot more to the table with life experience that might help inspire kiddos. I agree with that. I'm just going to say that. I can't stop myself. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wanted you to know that I finally bit the bullet and got myself some curtain bangs, and I love them. Go you. Thanks so much for the inspiration. I'm trying to do more for myself this year, and this made me feel great. I will also obsess over them and constantly move them out of my face, but totally. But today with the salon fresh hair, I'm feeling like $1 million. Love you, ladies, and I hope you make it to Vancouver for a show. Her name is Michelle. She's got new curtain bangs. She's about to be a teacher. But I really do want to say that I think, oh, man. This is a whole nother, I'm gonna keep it short. This is what I would say.
Okay.
I think we need to make it easier for second career people to become teachers.
Yeah,
especially now, because I agree with you. Like, there is enthusiasm and there's life experience that I think means so much. It's mentoring, which is so powerful.
Yeah.
And we should have it not just from the standards we think of regular education, but I think we should be bringing in auto mechanics and woodworkers and people who have had a professional life in the field, teaching young people, so then putting them back back out in the community and doing internship programs. We need more of that. We need less formality and more like, let's go into the world and use these things that we're learning. Because by the way, when you're 14, you've never had more energy in your life. Let's put it towards good use. Let's get them out actually applying these things that they're going to learn. And then when they go to college, they're a little bit more equipped. That's what I think. And I think Colin and all of our new teachers that are getting in there are going to do great things.
Well, my last and my favorite teacher of all time, I used to call her forever my mentor. I think even when I didn't know what that word meant, but now I know that it's like super accurate, was Kim Gangwish. She was my speech teacher, and I did speech.
Now, you guys, please tell them the difference.
Oh, it's forensics. It's not
forensics.
It's not dead bodies. She was a speech.
No, but it's also not.
It's competitive
it's
speech.
It's not us going, hats, cats,
no, it's
mats.
Competitive speech. So once I had my R's
handled
50% figured out, then I was like, well, I should just do this professionally.
Well, interpretation of drama.
Absolutely. So we did all that stuff. You used to like, so she was the teacher who got me very post-divorce, totally checked out parents, which, I mean, she really was like my surrogate mom. Like, she would come to like whatever performance I was doing. Mm-hmm. She would come to like awards dinners with me. She was like, and she was so young. Like, I used to babysit her first child, which makes no sense because nobody should have ever trusted me with a baby, but she did.
Well, she was young.
She did
she
not
know. She was young.
Yeah.
She didn't
now,
know better.
She would
but
not
you know
make
what?
That
I'm this age, and I would be like, that seems fine to me.
But she was always really, like, held me accountable. It wasn't like she was an easy teacher or anything. Like,
those are never your favorites. Yeah. There's always a little discipline there. There's always a little accountability.
She was tough, but it was like we knew each other because we traveled all the time together to go to, like, speech meets. We're together on the weekends, and I never missed a speech meet. Literally, she would, like, hang them up. Here's what's coming up for the year. And I would write my name down, like, all the events, like, for the year.
That's awesome.
There was this one thing that she did that I really didn't think about until like the last year or so, which is really horrible. And it could get into me making the worst Facebook mistake I've ever made in my life. But that's probably a whole other
episode. Oh, that's a whole episode just with my history.
Yeah. But I really didn't have trouble with like other kids in high school. But when you go to a speech meet in high school, it's like you leave at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday and it's not done till like midnight.
Yeah.
And speech was all I did. It was like, no, it wasn't all I did. But
it takes up a ton of time. I know I did it. It was
what you do on the weekends.
And
I mean,
you would prepare all week, you know, like practice and do your visual.
So much work.
Your visual aids. And you would stand in front of your mirror and you'd be like, Satanic cults, a threat to us all.
Yep. I'm going to walk over to point one right
point
over
one.
Here.
Yeah. In 1974, two graphic murders happened, and there was a pentagram.
Yeah.
That's what I would
Let
do.
Me dramatically open this black binder with my script in it that I'm required
going to
use.
I'm going to shoulder away and then pop it back because that is dramatic.
That's real. There's a bunch of us nerds in the world
that's what
we lived for.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like there being this speech tournament where bunch of girls from my school were like, we want to leave. And I was like, I don't want to leave because I want to stay for the awards. Because I had
they
like,
wanted to leave before awards?
Yeah, because they hadn't like
what the hell is the point if you can't hear your name called out?
Rounds. I don't know. And then I found out it had been this thing where they had been like angry that they had to stay and stuff. And my teacher made them. She was like, we are going to stay, like community.
I'm already
community
upset with them.
As a team. She was like, we're going to stay. And if you have a problem with that, you can call your parents and I will release you. They can come pick you up and I'll release you, which meant like they had to drive whatever to come if they really wanted to leave. And I realize how freaking cool that was.
Yeah.
That she was like, nope, you man up and you be supportive of people on your team and your community.
Yeah.
And that it like, I didn't know about it until like then.
That you have a responsibility for the people with you, too. Because if you're the person that's like, hey, let's leave. Let's go to Dairy Queen instead of listening to getting the you're not supposed to do that. That's against the rules. Like, do the thing that you're supposed to do. Like, and it's hard for a kid to assert themselves to other kids. It's really important that that adult shows you how to do it.
Exactly.
And then you make the right choice and then you're better off.
Yeah.
And by the way, that was my most thrilling time of speech because I had a very strong year in oral interpretation of drama.
Right?
They would come out of my team and we would roll down like, I was like the Beatles. I mean, sure, we were you know, B-level speech teamers, but in places like, you know, Scottsbluff, Nebraska, we were crushing it.
This is the hilarious thing. We were for sure at the same speech meets, Kristen.
100%.
I have no idea how we didn't bump into each
other.
Because
I went to state speech, and I'm sure you went to state speech.
Yeah, but we were different ones, yeah. Probably. Because
I was in oral interpretation of drama. I had a very strong year with informative speech, and then I got told I needed to take it back a notch because I sounded like a satanic person. That was one of the judge's comments, and I was like, how dare you, freedom of speech? How dare you?
I know, and also, make those comments have a lot less sharp corners because those will stick with somebody until she's 40.
100%. I'm talking about it right now. As I can see the green paper. I can see she docked me on my score because she did not like my content.
Wow.
I also complained, but that doesn't matter. I will tell you this. This is a sidebar about speech. Jen is right. You would have these speech team competitions. And because we were a rural school, we'd drive. So we would go. We would leave at 7 in the morning sometimes. And we'd be gone all through the school day and into the evening.
Yep, you're gone all day.
And I was not very good at being organized. I will be the first to admit. And I got to school early because that was who I was as a kid. And I got to school early just by chance. And I saw the speech team bus was full of everybody. And I was like, well, I'm on the speech team. Where are they going? And then I was like, oh, my God. I forgot I have a meet. So I was wearing like volleyball shorts and a t-shirt and I had nothing with me. And I got on the bus and just went. I like didn't sign out from my classes. Like I was like, I'll figure it out. They all know I'm on speech team, whatever. And I had no clothes to wear for a formal, like it's a formal event. You have to wear like nice dresses.
Now I do think I saw you at a speech.
I was dressed,
gentleman.
My friend Keith Brown let me wear his entire outfit. I wore a satin, like a silk shirt, a teal tie and teal Z Cavaricci's and my volleyball shoes.
And that's when her style changed
and
forever.
And that's when I started dating Lynn, officially. Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, you ready for my hot?
Oh, wait, yeah, you
ready for my hot flash? This one, I'm going to send you on a little left turn. I know.
Go for it.
You know who Tyrese Gibson is, right? Like, wasn't he like
that really hot black guy from
Fast and Furious?
Fast and Furious.
Yeah, and he's a singer and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's not the hot flash, okay?
Who is it?
So, first of all, I have to say his mom, he had a difficult childhood. He went to school in Watts, didn't eat most days. His mom had 4 kids. The dad left when he was 6 or 7. And, his mom has COVID right now. Good. I hope she's fine. And then he studied music and acting at Watts High School. And so I'm going to read this. I read it in an article. Tyrese cited his high school music teacher, Reggie Andrews, as a mentor to him in an Access Hollywood interview from 2019. Since there were many days Tyrese didn't have a quarter to pay for the bus ride to school, Reggie would drive him so Tyrese could make it to class and avoid walking through the rough parts of his neighborhood. So my hot flash is Reggie Andrews,
Reggie Andrews, teacher
who is not phoning it in.
But is a direct result of that guy making it and giving him the chance to like do his best work.
Helping out a mom. Don't you love people like that?
I love people like that. And there's so many of you out there that maybe you don't know that you're making a difference, but
you
really are. And it's just the little things. It's like the little aside conversations that you have with a kid that's really special, or the goofing around, or the little notes that parents or teachers send home. They're like, you're an A+.
There he is, God, that's his teacher.
Good Lord, he's good looking too. I'm
just
going to say
that. Yeah, the teacher's good looking too, you guys.
That's who I was talking about. We know he's hot.
Yeah, he is. Look at that smile. It's ridiculous.
Alone are just
so teachers, share this with your friends. We love you. We thank
you.
And that's our podcast.
Yeah.